Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire radio program, this satsang, is being recorded for October 16th, 2016 as well. And I am very grateful to be with you. I'm very honored. You are listening to this radio program as you are watching my TV programs on our website at aspire.org. Via the grace, the kindness, and the generosity of my loving sponsors who keep all of this going. And I hope that in some way, if you are finding my offerings helpful to you, that you will become a sponsor and help us to sustain our program and to keep our TV programs going and to offer, well, humankind another idea, an alternative to conventional thinking and belief in that old pedestrian mentality that we struggle with. So if you're interested in helping, come to the website at aspire.org, and there you will see sponsorship at the top of the page. Under support, you can pull down that little bar there and take a look, and you can sign up right there. There's a package for everyone. You can do it quarterly. You can do it monthly. And your gifts, of course, are tax deductible. And for your kindness, your donation, you will have access to my commentaries, my podcasts, my video casts. You can order any Aspire TV program on CD that I have made over the years that go more in-depth into the TV programs that I've done and have made, and you will receive the message of the month each and every month as my way of thanking you for your kind and loving support. So you get a lot of wonderful things for your donation, and I hope you will give it consideration. I really do, because we always need support. Everything costs money. Everything. Okay. Encouragement. Oh, boy. I get a lot of emails about I'm not encouraging enough, okay? I'm not telling you you can do it, baby. I'm not that kind of guy. Anyway, so I have chosen three of these. They're kind of interesting, and I was thinking, what is encouragement? What are we talking about here? So first one comes from Richard. He lives, let's see, in Ojai, California, and he says, and he listens to us often, I do listen to you often, Greg, and appreciate your radio programs. Well, okay, be a sponsor then, hey? So do not give much hope to us as human beings. Hope for change. Hope for good. Why, Richard? So, Richard, if I gave you hope, would you become a sponsor? Yeah. See, that's the killer here. People want to pay for what they want to hear, in the sense of they want to hear good things about their life and all that other stuff. So let me be blunt with you, and hopefully you will hear the respect in all of this. If I do the encouragement thing as you would like me to, giving you hope, as you say, I do you disservice. Then I become a manipulator. And I don't want to be a manipulator. And my students will tell you, I don't do that. I don't manipulate. It isn't about hope. It isn't about getting what you want and hoping for the best. It is about my work, that is, applying the laws and the principles of love, of forgiveness, of kindness, of giving, so that we might come into that very special and unique place where we become merciful, unconscionably merciful, inexplicably kind. And if you can do that, then who needs hope? Hope is for those who want change but are not willing of the change. They want things to turn around. They want things to get better. But they're not going to do the things that make life better. They're not going to do those things that allow life to change for them and to change for the world. Everybody wants change. So it's easier to get political, okay? You think, oh, if I vote for this person, I vote for that person, then I invoke change and I don't have to do anything but go into this little booth and hit a button and everything's going to change. See, that's the way our minds think. Real change starts with each and every one of us. I have to change. Whatever it is that makes me what I am, I have to change. I cannot stay the way I am. You know what the old saying in the AA book is, that people want change without changing. They don't want to change. They want circumstances to change, but they don't want to change themselves. And this is a plight that not only the AA people have, but all human beings have. We all have it. So we wouldn't know what to change. What do I change? Well, you have to begin with yourself. You have to get to know what you have done and the way you and I live in our patterns. Everybody has little patterns that they live by. You understand what I mean? These are patterns that we go through in the course of a day. These are patterns we go through in the course of our lifetime. We go from A to B to C to D to E. We just go through the course. We don't think about it. You get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you go to work, you know, that kind of thing. And we are a series of habits. And these habits, we think, don't matter. But in this lifetime, everything matters. So how I live my life according to the manner of either my flesh, which is my emotionality, or my spirit, which is that indefinable, beautiful, mystic, mystique of my being, that is our choice. So Richard, if I sit here and I become your rah-rah, and I tell you, you can have it, you can get it, you can have it, you can get it, you can do it, would you become a sponsor? Because I'm saying the things you want to hear? Would you? Would you actually support Aspire if it were saying the things you want to hear? That you can do it? That you can have a better life? What better life could you have than the one, really, you have right now? What would make your life better? More money? People agreeing with you? Some people being out of your life? Some new people coming into your life? What do you think would make your life better? This is the difficulty most of us have with our life. We don't know what to do with our life. We want change, and it's never enough. Richard, what I offer on Aspire is not change. It is transformation, personal transformation. It is about transforming. What do I mean by that? Going beyond the pedestrian mentality, going beyond hate and fear. Hating your circumstances and fearing your life. If you don't like the circumstances of your life and they look pretty, let's say, fixed in your living, then you need to take a deep look at what is it about me that makes them possible? How am I supporting these things inside me? What am I doing to make all of this happen? How am I looking at things? Maybe things aren't happening the way you think they are. Maybe they're happening at an entirely different level, and you and I are interpreting these things based on the kind of thoughts and concepts we believe in personally. However you believe in yourself, however you think of yourself, this is the way it will appear to be. Now, who can tell you different? If I walked up to you and I sit down with you and we watch people, let's say in a shopping center or something, you will see it one way. I might see it another. Who's to say who's right? Who's to say who's wrong? Who's to say what is good? Who's to say what is bad? Who's to say? You gonna sit there and argue the points? most people would. Most people would look at people's actions and say, well, that was a this an action and that was a that an action. But how do we know? How do we know we're seeing the whole picture? What if we're only seeing a very small part of a very big picture and we just like to believe we're seeing the whole thing? Richard, I'm not here to enforce your beliefs or hopes for good. I'm here to offer you the alternative to all of that, because the old way never works. I am here to offer to you the way of your heart, the way of love, the way of personal transformation. And the only thing that is ever going to transform us is our relationship to our authentic heart, our spiritual heart. It is behind everything that we do. It is not the genetic heart. It is our spiritual heart. And it is the most important element in human living and in living into transformation. I hope that I was able to help you and that you didn't mind me chiving you a little bit here, hey? Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm not positive enough. I've heard that a lot. You know, it's like you got a toothache, you know, and you deny the toothache and you think it'll go away if you hope or want it to. You have to go to a dentist. Then he has to stand there and tell you didn't brush your teeth right. You're going to hate him for that. You didn't take care of your teeth correctly, or you have a genetic disposition for teeth. And, you know, he tells you, yeah, it's your genetic. You're going to hope for better genetics? Come on. Samuel is the next one. He does not tell me where he lives. Is not life in our control? Can we not be empowered by our will and change our life, Greg? Samuel. No, Samuel. No. Life is not in our control. You want to think it is. You can control what you do, okay? You can control how you act, what you work on or what you believe in, what you think is right, what you can control what you think is wrong. You can control all of that. You can. Or you can think you are. A lot of our beliefs and a lot of our theories in life about living are based in our genetic disposition. Trying to be positive, trying to be negative, trying to be right, trying to be wrong, whatever you do. It's all in our genetic disposition. You really don't have any control over it like you and I would like to think we have. We want to believe we do, but we don't. So here we are in this world, in this lifetime, trying to do the things we do, have the things we have, go the places we go, and we think we can empower ourselves by our will. Do you remember what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, but thy will be done. Thy will. Whoa. Where's the control there? And how do you know that the thy will is going to be something that we want? Something that we think will help us or get us what we believe is the answer or the cure-all? You can't know. Whether you and I like it or not, we, until we become aware and we enter into that place where we become pure awareness, we are not in control of anything. We just make it appear as though we are. We want to believe that we're in control. We do. It works for us. Oh, I can control this. I can make that happen. I can make that happen. But what we never seem to understand is that in making that happen or that happen or that happen, that there are consequences for those things happening, which create more happenings. And if we keep acting the way we do, keep thinking the way we are thinking, keep living the way we're living, all of those things become what? another circumstance to try to control. And then as we control that, we create another circumstance because we have created another, well, another reality. And this goes on and on and on. Circumstances create, based on my actions, some kind of, well, retribution for what I do. Either you can say it's positive or negative. But whatever it is, it's mine. And it's what I've invoked in my life willfully on Greg Penn's part. Now, if I continue to do this kind of thing and live in the consequences of what Greg thinks is right or wrong or good or bad, Greg does not mature. It looks like I'm controlling my life. But actually, what I'm doing is I'm being manipulated by my instincts, my urges, my emotionality. I'd like to believe I'm, you know, Mr. Wonderful. I control my destiny. No, I don't. You don't either. We've set this thing up many lifetimes ago. Until we transform, until love and mercy, forgiveness and compassion are more important to me than getting what I want or proving my self-righteousness, I am not going to mature or grow at all. Not at all. Hence, I'm going to be subject to the circumstances of my own condition. And I have created that, Samuel. And there are consequences for that in my life that I am going to have to face by the way I live my life. And either I will change it according to love, real love, not emotional love, not human love, or I'm going to seek vengeance and develop pride and develop some kind of self-righteousness that either makes me look like a victim or a victor or makes me look right and makes the other person look wrong. Whenever you and I are in a situation where we're trying to prove one person right and one person wrong, whether we be either one of those two guys, we're in our genetic disposition. We are falling to our emotionality. People can't follow this teaching. It's very hard for human beings to go, well, what did he say? Wait a minute. What's he saying there? It's very hard because people don't want to hear it. They literally don't want to hear it. They want to think, yes, I make decisions. Tonight I'm having pasta. And after the pasta, I'm going to have some ice cream. And after that, I'm going to have a cappuccino. I make decisions in my life. I chose to be a lawyer, or I chose to be a doctor, or I chose to be a technician, or whatever. Everybody wants to think they've got this power. We don't have the power. We want to think we do. You and I are a genetic disposition until meditation hits. Until you can lift yourself out of that emotionality, out of that humanness, and become what you truly are, sitting there listening to me, even as I blunderly speak to you right now. You are pure awareness. And when the duality of right and wrong, of good and bad, friend and foe drop, and you see the futility of that duality, of any duality for that matter, that is when things really begin to change, and you will find great inner growth. You're going to find a new life, that you are here as a matter of fate and destiny to do wonderful things with your life, beautiful things. Things you cannot even remotely imagine in your imagination. You can't even perceive that. You will live in the fascination of that moment where you are going from one breath to another and living in the gap, in the pause, in the spaces between those breaths. That is where the real power is. Not in Greg Penn will, not in Greg Penn thought, not in Greg Penn belief, and not in Samuel belief either. You have to be willing to have the experience that is outside the beliefs you have about your own life. And if you can do that, which you can, by breaking the duality cycle in us, that is when things really begin to become interesting. Until then, it's all about the same old, same old. It's all about wanting, needing, trying to get, wanting, needing, trying to get, until you just get so exhausted you can't stand it anymore. Samuel, give up your will. Just give it up. Oh, that's stupid to say. He's not going to give that up. No, he's not. So you're going to have to go through the Chippewa lifetimes. And Chippewa lifetimes is when you Chippewa at everything until you get it. You're going to have to chip away at your life until you finally get it. And you will. You will. We all do. Took me many, many hundreds to get here, and there'll be many hundreds for me to face in the future. We're all Chippewas, as I call it. I hope that helps you, Samuel. Please forgive me. Namaste. Good, Greg. You are a trip. Okay, the last one is from Linda. And she is listening to us from Boise, Iowa. Boise. Boise. You Boise. Oh, okay. Is there any reason, really, to live when you look at it from a direct point of view? Linda. The answer to your question, Linda, is in your own question. It's in the word real. Is there any real reason to live? Yes, to find what is real. Now, you're not going to find it through the mind. You're not going to find it through thought. You're not going to find it through belief. You're not going to find it through the illusion of emotionality. You're not going to find it there. The reality of your life, what is real, is what is asking the question right now. If you can perceive what is asking that question within you, you will come to understand the answer to your question. And that is a very important thing to do. To see and realize the reality of your life. What is that reality? When you are no longer willing to push and pull, when you are no longer willing to have pedestrian answers to your questions that are very important and sincere, that is when something of the mystical is going to enter into you, and that is when you're going to see the bigger picture. All you have to do is see the mystical for what it is and begin to see the bigger picture for what it is. The reason for our living is to find the reality of our life. That reality cannot be found in ideas or ideals. That reality cannot be found in what you want and what you don't want. That reality is not a theory, a philosophy, or a psychology. It is a direct experience as a result of letting go of right and wrong and good and bad, our duality, and sitting quietly, just feeling the ebb and the flow of the meaning of your life as it pertains to your daily living. And once you understand that, once you get that, once that starts to sink into you, that's when beauty starts to arise. That's when consciousness begins to take over, and you begin to feel the ebb, the flow, and the essence of yourself beyond the theories that you might have about what is right and wrong and good and bad. Want nothing with all of your heart, Linda. As the Buddha said, it will help you so much. I hope that helps you. Please, please, please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be able to help you with, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org. Go hit the media button there. You will see Satsang with Siraj. You can click right there. There's a way to email me there. Just email me your question as these people do and allow me the honor of you in my life. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful weekend. And please forgive me. Namaste.